The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Follow us on Twitter at LA News Guy. That's twitter.com/LA News Guy. Sunday morning newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
We are in Sacramento doing the show today. Well, we've been invited in for a few minutes to talk with Senator John Morlock here in Sacramento. A lot of things going on in the district right now. There's a big story about coronavirus and a facility that, the time we're taping this, is in debate whether it should be used. Kind of set up some of these stories going on.
Well, Thursday evening of last week, the governor contacted myself and others in the area to notify us that the Center for Disease Control was going to move individuals from Travis Air Force Base to the Fairview Developmental Center, and kind of gave us a heads up, but a code of silence to be, you know, keep it under wraps, but that we would be apprised. That didn't go over well, so the city filed for a restraining order, and so that's in a federal courtroom. And we have a judge that's asking the state and the federal government some reasonable questions. Why would we be using a facility that is actually experiencing arrested decay and is actually being vacated from its longtime purpose for over 60 years, and now why would we want to put people with coronavirus in that facility? And we're not getting good answers. How was the facility selected? California is a big state, but Orange County is the second most densely populated county in California, just behind the city and county of San Francisco. So in 800 square miles, we have more than 3 million people. Why would you want to bring the individuals quarantined for coronavirus here, close to main streets, airport, Disneyland, all the rest? And so we haven't gotten answers, and at least we have a judge, Stratton, who's willing to ask the tough questions to say, okay, wait a second, you can't do anything until these questions are answered. And we're hoping to get something from the governor. It's certainly created a lot of concern. This is so big. We're talking, you and I, today on Tuesday, February 25th. But in the last 2 days, the stock market's gone down 1,800 points. So we know that the world is really focused, and so is our business community, on this issue. And we're just trying to say and ask Governor Newsom why, and why not somewhere else.
As we are in the Capitol today, we're hearing a lot of different things being discussed. A lot of concern from the business community about AB5 and the carve-outs. We talked about that last year. It was coming, and it's here now. And there's some report that possibly up to 1 million people are potentially out of a job, people out of the state saying they're not even considering hiring people from California on their projects anymore because they're concerned about the blowback in potential lawsuits and litigation. This Sacramento has a way of really helping things in California, doesn't it?
We have a supermajority party that is represented by individuals that probably have not owned their own businesses. The issue of common law employee versus independent contractor is an old issue. Usually the IRS settles it for you because they want you to withhold Social Security tax, FICA, Medicare, and because you direct where that individual works, the hours, et cetera. That's an employee. Well, the Democrats in Sacramento are pretty much controlled by both public and private employee unions. And they see Uber and Lyft as a unionization opportunity. You cannot unionize independent contractors, but you can unionize employees. Well, almost 86%, I believe, of Uber and Lyft drivers do it part-time. So we're not talking about individuals that work 8 to 5 or you know, pick a shift and do that as their full-time occupation. We're talking about mostly people who are looking to earn a little spare change to take their family on vacation. So it has disrupted the workplace by making something that should have been rather simple for every business owner to determine. What is a common law employee? They should be subject to payroll withholdings. They should be subject to workers' comp insurance premiums, all the rest. And who is an independent contractor who's just kind of just coming in for a few seconds or whatever, doing a task and then getting out? And because the Democrats have confused this so much, we do have businesses leaving the state. We do have businesses discontinuing to work with Californians. And we've got more than 30 bills already on the docket since last week when the deadline arrived on ways to remedy or carve out or whatever we need to do to fix this nonsense.
But you shouldn't have to carve out. You shouldn't have to make everybody losers and then fight to get yourself back into the win.
No, but if you're a generous contributor, you know, maybe carve outs are an attractive and lucrative source. And I jest a little bit, Larry, but it's wrong. You need a test that applies to everybody. Yeah. You shouldn't be saying, okay, if you are an accountant, you're okay. If you
a musician isn't,
but if you're a studio musician, you're not. You know, that just doesn't make sense. You should have criteria that are easily understood so that you can determine whether you're an independent contractor or you're not. And obviously, if someone is just being used once or twice or 35 times a year, you're not an employee. Mm. So come on, wake up.
And how do you form a corporation and get all set up to have that person work if you're just having a party once and you want to hire a few musicians? It's not going to work.
Right. And that's the bill that the author of AB 5, Lorena Gonzalez-Fletcher, is offering this year, that you can go ahead and incorporate as a limited liability corporation. And, you know, the good news is she won't make you pay the $800 minimum tax the first year.
There you go. So you can hold your one party and hire a few musicians.
It's not right.
Senator Morlock, thank you so much. Thank you, sir.
AM 870, The Answer.
Senator Brian Jones is with us. We are in Sacramento for the week.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate you guys being in the Capitol. It's one of the things I try to promote as often as possible to my local media is you guys got to get out of the market and into Sacramento to find out what's really going on in this Capitol building.
Yeah. And there's a lot going on. We were talking before we started about AB 5. That's kind of been a theme here, the new regulations that have been codified into law, very tight on whether you can be an employee or an independent contractor. You've been working to try to fix some of that.
So three things that I'm working on right now is I've co-authored a constitutional amendment to undo AB 5 altogether, which is probably the most important thing and really that's the highest priority is just to undo it completely. But short of that, adding extra additional exemptions for folks that are translators and interpreters. You know, they're currently impacted by AB 5 because a lot of those folks are 1099 contract workers. And really their business model and musicians too. So the other bill that I've authored myself is to exempt musicians from AB 5 because those business models are where you're doing gigs here and there. You don't work for the bar that you're playing in as a translator, interpreter. You may have 3 or 4 different clients throughout the day that you're working for. You're not an employee of those people.
How would you do that? How would you clock in and take a break halfway till 5 hours and have your lunch and you're working at 3 different locations in the same day?
Exactly right. And then you've got travel expenses in both of those professions, musicians. You got, you know, vehicle expenses, materials expenses, equipment. Same thing with translators and interpreters. And really, I should say that the Republican caucus in the Senate has a package of bills. I think we've done 9 or 10 bills that identify particular business models and we're trying to get them exempted from AB 5.
Senator Brian Jones, the craziness of what happens in this building. What are they thinking by putting this in place? There's some part of this legislation that apparently has retroactivity that goes back. You may have been a business following the Borrello decision from before, but that's not good enough now.
Right. Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because there's two things that people don't know about this bill yet. That's one, is the retroactivity of the bill, which is completely ridiculous, and I think there's going to be some constitutional issues with that. The other one is, you know, all of these businesses that have high-dollar lobbyists up here in Sacramento that got exempted last year, you know, they knew it was coming, and so the realtors, insurance agents, hair care specialists, you know, they all got exempted because they have advocates up here that are in the mix and know what is going on. But like musicians we talked about, translators we talked about, there's a myriad of
journalists.
Exactly.
Who would think they'd have to go lobby to keep their job?
Exactly. Well, yeah, that's a good point. There's a myriad of businesses that aren't even on the radar yet, and they won't know about this until next year when they go to do their taxes and they try to file a 1099, which is a federal form, IRS form, and the state tells them that that's not valid. So there's going to be an uproar again next year when people that don't know about it this year get impacted on their taxes.
We are in Sacramento, Senator Brian Jones. We're in his office. We're talking about some of the things going on. We have just a few minutes together. What are some other things that you want to share with our listeners? What do they need to know what's going on up here?
Well, I've introduced a package of bills to deal with the homeless situation statewide. You know, the governor has said now in two State of the State addresses that he's going to take on homelessness. And he said it last year and he did nothing. He said it this year and he spent a big portion of his State of the State address talking about that, but still offered no real solutions and no real game plan on what he's going to do about it. So, you know, I told my staff and my constituents, I'm tired of waiting. We're going to take the steps. We're going to introduce stuff. We've got five specific bills that impact a different element of the homeless situation in California. I call it sticks and carrots. Mm-hmm. We want to reward people that are doing good things, and people that refuse to do good things, we've got sticks for that. So we're really excited about driving the conversation on homelessness and actually doing something that makes a difference in people's lives on the streets in California.
We've been doing a series called At the Heart of the Homeless Crisis. What caused this? How did we get here?
Well, there's a couple of causes. And one of the things that I really try to encourage people is we've got to stop calling it homelessness. That's not the problem. Let's divide the population into the group that is truly homeless, the people that are down on their luck, lost their job, behind on their car payment, got behind on their rent. Those are the people that don't want to be homeless. They want the help. We have resources for them. Let's continue to do that and get them off the streets. Then we have the population of what I call scofflaws, vagrants, and criminals. They're either severely mentally ill, drug addicted, or they're just choosing to live on the streets because they don't have to comply with any laws at that point in time. And that's the population that we need the sticks and carrots for. So how did we get here? Prop 47. Prop 57, and it started with AB 109 in 2011 with the governor's prison realignment bill that no Republican voted for. All the Democrats voted for it. It was one of the most partisan votes since I've been here, and it's been detrimental to our communities throughout California. It's unbelievable what this one bill did to our communities in California.
Senator Brian Jones, thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate you coming in.
AM 870, The Answer.